Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, Sac State is back and it is a big year, the university's diamond anniversary, 75 years. The dorms are full, and if you've been anywhere near Sac State, like we are here at CAP Radio, you know that traffic is back too. Sacramento State University expects to welcome back around 31,000 students as the campus emerges from the pandemic. President Nelson joined us at CAP Radio Studios and outlined his plan for the future while celebrating Sac State's past. We share the same campus at Sac State. You know, it's going to be 75 years at Sac State. That is a huge deal. How much has changed at Sac State since 1947 when, 235 students were enrolled?
It's a completely different university, I can tell you. At that point, there were only 25 faculty and only five of them were full-time. Now there's over 2,000 faculty, 235 students. Now there's 31,583. They were largely all GIs. Now we are a very diverse campus. We've changed dramatically from when we started.
Yeah, by leaps and bounds. And you came to Sac State in 2015, and you had a mission of turning Sac State around. I actually arrived in Sacramento as a journalist in 2016. So I've really followed you during your addresses, and I've interviewed you many times. What really strikes me about you is how genuinely emotional in a good way you are with Sac State. You're not shy from shedding a tear or two or a little bit more. Where does that come from?
From the students. I love my students. I love our students. From our mission, we are taking young individuals who come from poverty and we're changing their lives. And we're taking and creating new innovations that are going to change other people's lives. It's all about the mission of transforming lives. That's why I get emotional. And frankly, I'm at a great university. Who wouldn't get emotional? Who wouldn't fall in love with Sac State?
You know, one of your biggest missions was transforming Sac State from a commuter school into a destination campus. What work still needs to be done to attract students from near and far?
That's one of the things I'm most proud of right now, is that we are attracting students from all over the country. Most of the schools and universities are down. There's only a handful that are up. We're up 4% this year, which shows that people want to be at Sac State. We've really changed from a commuter school to a destination campus, and that's largely because we've got the programs that people want to be at.
You know, you mentioned that Sac State is really instrumental in getting students out of poverty. And we know that affordability for college, it's not just, you know, isolated to Sac State, but across the board, it's becoming less and less affordable. And there are students who work several jobs, even some experiencing homelessness. Y'all have a food pantry, as do other universities, while going to school. What are you doing at Sac State to continue to make a four-year degree more affordable for students?
Well, first of all, we're making a four-year degree possible. 8 years ago when I came, it wasn't possible because there weren't enough courses for the students to take. So they were stuck waiting for courses, waiting for that one course to graduate. We've added over 1,600 additional courses just so that everyone can get those courses. We've streamlined our advising, and now the advisors are in the individual colleges so the students can see the advisors much easier. We front-load classes. Now it's already done electronically for you for that first year, so you know exactly what courses to take, and you've got a full load at that point.
Yeah, it's a streamlined, especially when you're a freshman. You know, you're navigating an entirely new chapter of your life. You know, big news from last week was President Biden's executive order for giving up to $20,000 in federal student loans to those who qualify. Where do you fall on this issue? Because not everyone is necessarily happy about it.
I know there's some dissatisfaction out there. My students, mostly my alumni, are thrilled, okay? About half of our students have debt when they come out. We are one of the most affordable colleges. Today, a ranking just came out, and we are in the West, the 10th best college for the bang for the buck. Okay, so we've tried to keep things affordable as we possibly can, whether it's with books, whether it's with housing and with tuition. Okay, the CSU tuition is some of the lowest tuition in the United States, and we're very proud of that.
You also made your feelings known about, you know, national issues, specifically the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe versus Wade and abortion rights. You sent a message denouncing the decision, but you also assured students that they will be protected at Sac State. What can you do as president to protect and offer students options on campus?
Well, we will have medical abortion. Will be
abortion
available.
Pill?
Yeah, the abortion pill will be available starting January 1st. That is a state law and something that's required. Our counseling system is excellent. We've increased the number of counselors. Women deserve the choice, and we need to follow the law and provide that choice.
During your fall address, you know, you got emotional, which is not unusual for you, but you also proclaimed that Sac State is back, like for real back. What does that mean?
We are. We're really back. Only 5% of the students are taking all of their courses online. 82% of the classes are face-to-face. We're there in the classroom. We're there interacting with each other. You should be on campus today. There's tents all over the place, the clubs, the sororities, the fraternities. They're enrolling people.
The traffic.
Oh, the traffic. Even I got caught in the traffic on the way over here. The traffic is back as well.
Yeah, so did some of the Insight team as well got caught in that traffic since we're located at Sac State. But it's all for good things. But I mean, how is the university managing COVID?
We've changed, okay? We've learned a lot about COVID in the meantime. And we've learned the importance of vaccinations. And we are making sure that our students and our faculty are vaccinated or boosted. In the dormitories right now, residence halls, over 96% are fully vaccinated. And it's the same with our faculty. We no longer require masks. If someone wants to wear a mask, that's a personal decision, and we support that decision to do it. But all in all, we've been safe. We've never had a major outbreak in any of the classrooms or anywhere on campus.
Now there's another virus to talk about, and that's mpox or monkeypox. What conversations are you having with the campus about addressing this?
I sent out a message about monkeypox just last week, talking about it, how it spreads, how to be safe, what to be careful about. It spreads skin to skin. We know that. It's not like COVID that's spreading through the air. There are ways to prevent it. We will have the vaccination available for our students in a clinic at some point. We're working with the county on that right now, and we're making sure that everybody's educated.
Another important part about your address is you announced the hiring of several new staff in the spirit of diversity, equity, and inclusion. What does that entail, and also including pay equity?
Well, I'm really proud. Let's start with the pay equity first, okay? Because the faculty and staff had not had a raise in 3 years. Think about that. 3 years they hadn't had a raise. All of the faculty and staff are receiving a 7% raise, and I'm proud that we were able to make that happen in the budget. We're also giving them a $3,500 COVID service award for the 2 years that they worked, those extra time, those times where they were coming in and they were nervous, and they deserve something for what the sacrifices that they made. So 7% doesn't solve everything, but it's a start in the right direction. To the faculty, we want our faculty to look like our students. It's great if you can see role models. And our professors are role models. So we hired 62 faculty this year, and I'm proud to say that 49 of them were women, which was a big improvement. When I came the first year, we hired 23 faculty, and only one of them was a woman. Okay. And 53% of them are people of color. So it's an improvement, and we'll continue to move in that direction.
When it comes to some of the learning lessons during the pandemic, I mean, during that time, Sac State helped subsidize laptops and other supplies. What lessons were learned from the support that the university offered students, and are there similar programs that are going to be implemented?
Yeah, we learned a lot. We even made Wi-Fi available throughout the campus, and one of the parking garages we made into a hotspot so people could go there. The entire campus is now has Wi-Fi throughout it, especially outdoors. We've got more outdoor seating because people like to be outdoor, especially during the pandemic. This year, we're putting $500,000 towards loaner computers, laptops, so that our students will be able to do that.
Another development to really celebrate in recent years is athletics. I mean, since 2016, Sac State football wasn't necessarily competitive, but the last couple of years, even with the pandemic, the Hornets have been back-to-back Big Sky Conference champions. What impact do you think that a successful sports team plays on just the morale, the camaraderie, and the connection of college students?
Well, I'm proud to say that right now in FCS football, we are ranked number 7. The Hornets are ranked number 7. You wouldn't have said that a long time ago. And I really look forward to them winning again this year. We have already sold out double the number of seats to the general public and double the number of seats to our students. There's going to be a lot of people in Hornet Stadium celebrating and feeling strong and good about ourselves. We haven't felt good about ourselves for 2 years. We were still winning football games, but we haven't been together. We haven't been a community. We haven't been a family. Going to game, it's miraculous. I was at volleyball. We beat Nevada Reno. That place was just rocking. The Nest was just rocking. And all these new students were just screaming and everything else. I got more stingers up at that than I had gotten in a long time. So it's a great way to celebrate Sacramento and celebrate who we are.
Yeah, it just continues giving and giving, even beyond the football field or the court or what have you, whatever sport it is. I do want to give a little plug. I went to the planetarium recently for the James Webb telescope photos. It was awesome. That is such a great addition to the university. I remember covering when y'all broke ground, you know, years ago, and to actually walk in and see it was quite impressive.
Well, one of the things that I'm very proud about is that we have kept it free for school kids. Most of the planetariums charge. We're not going to charge. We want to give back to the community. We are an anchor institution. We are anchored in this community. We love Sacramento.
Yeah, a lot of families were there too with young children. So it does pay dividends. Thank you so much, President Nelson.
Thank you. Stingers up.
Stingers up. Yes, absolutely. That is my conversation with Robert Nelson, president of Sacramento State University. Up next, we say goodbye to CAP Radio Morning Edition host Donna Appadoni, who has guided our mornings for the past 2 decades. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. If you've been listening to CAP Radio for any time over the last 24 years, you no doubt have heard the soothing and distinctive voice of our Donna Appadoni. She really has done it all here. She's hosted the midday show on the music station, CAP Radio Reads, even Insight, and for the past 21 years, she keeps us moving, grooving, and up to date on Morning Edition.
This is Morning Edition on CAP Radio. It's 6 o'clock. This is listener-supported CAP Radio News. It's 7:21. It's 7:51. It's 8:19. It's 8:49. It's 8:51. Insight is next. It's 9 o'clock.
Donna is that familiar voice who guides us through our morning with her one-of-a-kind charm and, of course, calm. When the news is tough and the world is seemingly turned upside down, listening to Donna gives us that sense of peace, clarity, and that feeling of everything is going to be all right. Well, tomorrow, yes, tomorrow is Donna's last day as host of Morning Edition. I sat down with Donna about the decades of meaningful conversation she's led here at CAP Radio. Well, Donna, I just want to say, you know, being a relative newbie at CAP Radio, being here for a year and a half, I'm just so grateful that you were often the first person I would see in the morning. You're so welcoming and warm. Aww. And I was a listener for so many years. And I feel so special that I actually got to experience you in person.
Well, same. Likewise, you have brought so much to the show. And it's such a joy working with you during the book segments, but also just running into each other in the hallway. It's always fun to see you.
Our shared love for Foo Fighters.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's hard to say it. Tomorrow is it. We're obviously going to miss you tremendously. But the big question, why and why now?
Well, first, I have to say I have the best job in town. I don't hesitate for a moment. Maybe the best job in the state. I absolutely love my job. I'm not leaving for any reasons that have to do with anything other than that, because I love it. It was a hard decision to make, and it took me several years of thinking it over and how do I want to do this and when. And I never thought that I'd be part of what we've been calling the Great Resignation, but it's time. You know, 21 years, I have raised a generation of listeners. People who were born when I started doing Morning Edition have or will soon graduate from college. That's mind-boggling to me. But I also had a reality check about a little over a year ago. A really good friend of mine contracted a terrible disease. It was not COVID, but something that he will not fully recover from. And in the first few days of that, when he was in hospital and heavily drugged, I was talking to him on the phone, and he started crying. And he started saying, I'm just thinking of all the things I thought I would do someday, and now I never will. And he kept babbling on, and my brain just stopped there. And I said, this is it. There are so many things that I don't want to put off any longer. So I thought, this is the time to do. And also, as a person who meditates a lot and goes through that process a lot, I spend a lot of time wondering what I would do next, what would be next. And what I kept hearing in my voice, in my own head, was there are stories to tell. And they're not my stories, but I'm the conduit, so I'm going to tell them.
Yeah. I mean, we're so layered. And even though we can be passionate about something, it is just a piece of us, right? And there's only 24 hours
in
the day.
Right.
So to devote more time, and I'm happy you're devoting more time to other parts of yourself and other passions. I also love, as a writer, words are very important to you. You use the term graduation as opposed to leaving or retiring. Yeah. Why does that resonate with you?
Well, I'm not retiring. I'm just stepping away from Morning Edition. I still have to work for a living. This job allowed me to write and produce and interview people, which are three things I love to do, but there wasn't the time to do that and host Morning Edition. So I will still be writing. I will still be producing somewhere. You might be surprised where I pop up, but I'm certainly not retiring.
Yeah, and you're not going far.
No.
So this is it sounds simple question, but it's pretty loaded when you've been the host for 21 years. What are you going to miss most?
I'm going to miss the people I work with. You know, I've worked with Steve Milne for all these years. He's fabulous. He is just the most amazing person. I'm really going to miss the partnership that I have with him. I'm going to miss the connection that I have with our listeners. Because, you know, you go in the community and there's always somebody you run into who's talking about CAP Radio or wants to know about CAP Radio. It's a very personal connection that everyone here has with everyone who's listening. So I'll miss that. But the whole CAP Radio team, we have the most amazing people who work here. Some are technical, some are writers, some are, you know, all these different talents that our team has. And as you said, just walking in the building and seeing all these people, I'll miss everybody here so much.
Yeah, when it comes to newsrooms, you know, the work culture can be challenging at times, you know, when I've been through multiple.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with you about CAP Radio.
There are some things about radio, too, in general.
Right.
general that I'll miss, like the craft of radio. You know, we have certain things that we do that are traditions or unwritten rules that we do, and the craft of radio has always been really important to me. There's something that we do called hitting the post. It's when you end what you're saying, and you end it at a precise time because the network comes up next, and you don't want to bump into that other voice. That's called hitting the post. And I can truly tell you that through my entire career, every time I hit the post, I get a rush from it. So I will miss that precision that we have in our talking and knowing when to end everything. You know what else I noticed on Friday morning? The Friday song that plays after Marketplace Morning Report. I'm always dancing around in the studio. And we also have to say on a regular basis that you can find us online or on your CAP Radio app. Well, you know, it's Apidonia. I'm like, no, I'm your CAP Radio app. So, you know, I'll miss that little joke, all of the little things that we do around here.
Especially when it comes to time, you have like an eagle sense when it comes to like the economy of time, what a second, what 10 seconds feels like. Yeah. I mean, you probably have an internal stopwatch.
I feel like I do. Exactly. Yeah.
So with any job, is there anything that you won't miss?
My cousin asked me what the first thing would be that I would do after I finish. And I said, I am going to take those alarm clocks and throw them out the window. I have a couple of alarms on my phone, a couple of actual alarm clocks. I set 4 alarms because I'm terrified I'll oversleep. I will not miss getting up early.
Yeah. Well, take us behind the scenes. What surprises people about your job?
I don't think that people know that I stand up all day. You stand throughout your show.
Yeah, but you do it for hours.
Yeah, I stand throughout my show. So it's about 6 hours that I'm standing in that studio. But I'm also dancing my way through the morning. And it's harder to do that when you're sitting down. There's a lot of great music that plays during Morning Edition. And I just love to bop around that studio and enjoy that. We also have a tradition in radio of you talk to just one person. You don't talk to a big crowd of all the people because that's too much to fathom. But if you talk to one person and imagine who that is and what they're doing, then you make a different kind of connection. So I do that all the time, too. So when people say, I feel like you're talking just to me, I am.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love leading with that intention and kind of forgetting that you're actually talking to thousands of people, you know, in the morning. Often you're the first voice they hear.
Oh, I know.
So take us back before CAP Radio, like where you grew up and what really got you into being interested in broadcasting and radio.
I grew up in Maryland and Ohio. I didn't come to California until 1998 when I started here at the station. But I remember being intrigued, 9, 10 years old, being intrigued. It was music that I was listening to on the radio. I didn't really think about being in any kind of news coverage at that time. But I was intrigued by it very early at a pretty young age.
Was there a specific moment when it hit you? You got bit by the radio bug?
Yeah. You know, my parents had a friend who worked for a radio station. And one day we decided to go see what does this guy do at work? And I remember going into that station and saying, oh, yeah, you know, this is really cool. But I think the coolness of it really attracted me more than anything else. Like, this is really cool. I want to be cool, too. Then in college, a lot of us in college worked at a PBS station in our college town. I was doing more production and working on a floor crew. I never really thought about being on air at all. For some reason, when I got out of college, instead of going down the path I thought I'd have as a TV producer, I ended up working at a radio station instead, being on air, which I hadn't really expected to do. And there you go. That was it.
And the rest was history. What drew you to CAP Radio? And not only because, you know, with this business, like we can bounce around, you know, after every couple of years, but you stayed here for a couple of decades. What drew you to CAP Radio?
Well, there were years before those couple of decades when I did bounce around. So I had my time of bouncing around. I was hired as director of development, like the chief fundraiser. Well, we've grown so much. I would never be able to do that job now. I had a background in producing on-air fund drives, and I had a leadership role in a national fundraising initiative. So it looked like I would be a very good person to have that job. But after 2.5 years of that, I'd be happy to go back on air. And the Morning Edition job was open at that point. It's really funny because some of the people I worked with at that time said, oh, I don't know, are you going to go to host Morning Edition? That's really going to hurt your career. But I think it's worked out okay.
Yeah. I absolutely think so. And given that you've worked in various radio stations, what drew you to the mission of CAP Radio?
It doesn't take long to fall in love with public radio or public TV. It happens very easily. In my case, I was working at a commercial radio station, but I was listening to the NPR station in the area. It filled in a couple of times, and when they had an opening, they called me. And it's just a no-brainer once you get inside a station. If you like NPR, you want to work for NPR affiliates.
Yep. I agree with you on that. All right. 21 years as host of Morning Edition, and you've been just such a trusted voice in the mornings for so long. When people wake up, you may be the first person they hear.
Some clouds today, some showers in the higher elevations. Tomorrow and Sunday should be a lot sunnier for everyone. Coming up on Morning Edition, people in low-income areas of Stockton will soon have new options for transportation, shared electric bikes and cars that will be available for a low rate. Sacramento has one of the largest communities of recently arrived Ukrainian immigrants, one of the largest in the country. We'll find out how their faith is guiding them coming up in about 15 minutes. StoryCorps will make you cry today. We're going to hear about brothers. One of them recently died of cancer. We'll hear the story that the two of them did together and then an update from the brother who remains. Early results are in from California's primary election. It looks like at least one Sacramento City Council race will run off in November. Yeah, that was fun. I'm Donna Apadone. This is Morning Edition on CAP Radio. It's Friday.
I mean, we really just got a spectrum of, I mean, there really is kind of like a melody to this. Like, you really have to go with, the topics can be so far-ranging. StoryCorps, I love StoryCorps, but it's absolutely usually a tearjerker. Yeah. I mean, there's so much responsibility and skill and listening that comes with what you do every morning.
Yeah. It feels like a big responsibility sometimes. I think of it as the person who wants to connect with everyone listening, depending on what's going on in the world. So some days, we're dancing because there's happy news going on Morning Edition. Some days it's tragic news, and that's when I put my arm around you. You know, that's when I have to be very present with what's going on with every listener. It's connection. It's empathy. There are also a lot of people who complain about one thing or another about the station, so we have to be generous in listening and sorting through those things, too. But it's compassion. It's empathy.
Yeah, a lot of thoughtfulness on your part, which in turn you get a lot of trust from people. Yeah. What does that trust mean to you personally?
It's really intimidating at first. I had to learn how to deal with that over time. But after a while, you step into it. You say, oh, if this is my job, if this is what people expect of me, then this is what I have to do. And you step into that role and you get it done. So it's, you know, it gets easier. It's also an enormous compliment when somebody says they trust you and you want to live up to that. And I try to live up to it every day.
Absolutely. You know, just morning after morning, all the stories you've taken in, what moments will you remember forever while hosting Morning Edition?
StoryCorps is a great example. Now, after StoryCorps, there's a promo for All Things Considered. But it used to be that I was the first thing that someone would hear after StoryCorps. I was always crying. So that was one of them. Everything in COVID just broke me down. There were so many times when I just couldn't even talk as I was crying. Those stories were just so hard for all of us to hear. We have to remain neutral no matter what the news is, no matter what our personal feelings are, election results, you know, how we feel about any kind of political issue or any social issue, and just maintaining a steady voice through all of that has been something that I've had to keep in mind and had to remember. I love stories about immigration because of my own family. I'm always listening to those, and those are moments for me. There is one other moment that I have to tell you about. Gina Spadafore, who is just the pet queen, used to do a segment on Insight all the time, and she'd bring in animals. And one time, she'd bring in baby goats. Who doesn't love baby goats? One time, she brought in bats. One time, she brought in a little puppy. Well, if there's a little puppy in the building, I'm there. So I said, I'm sorry, Gina, I'm going to kidnap your little puppy and have that puppy in my studio to do the last break. Well, Gina is so good at training her dogs. They had the little dog on the floor next to me, and I'm standing in front of the control board. And the little dog was trying to look at what was going on the control board. And I said, oh, are you looking up there? So well trained, even as a puppy, that he heard the word up and immediately jumped onto the control board. The sound for a couple of seconds was like, because he was pushing all the buttons and all the wrong things. But that's a moment I'm going to remember for a long time.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, we mentioned a few moments ago that you had many, many different hats here over the years at CAP Radio. What were some of your favorite hats?
Oh, that's really hard to say because there are so many great moments. I really, Steve Milne and I drove out to the coastal area a few years ago to interview Mickey Hart.
Grateful Dead.
Yeah. That was a big moment. I really enjoyed that. It's really hard to say what the greatest moments are because there have been so many and it's been 21 years. It's a little hard to answer.
Well, we're going to listen to a clip when you actually were hosts for Weekend Exchange.
On the next Weekend Exchange, a comprehensive look at Sacramento's surprisingly successful poetry scene.
It's not quite as exclusive or trendy as you might imagine in cities like New York, but these are heartfelt poets, and Sacramento has kind of a flavor that's very plain spoken.
Poet Laureate Emeritus Viola Weinberg, one of the voices we'll hear from this Saturday on Weekend Exchange at 6 a.m. on the NPR station and at 5 p.m. on the Classical station.
Oh, I love that. When was Weekend Exchange around?
I can't even remember what years those were, but it was sort of a precursor to Insight. There wasn't Insight at the time. It was just a weekly show. And I have to admit, all I did was host that. Other people, I occasionally put together a story, but mostly it was other people's stories coming together and someone would hand me a script or I would write part of the script and I would host that. But I wasn't as involved in that as you are as host of Insight. Big difference.
You've actually filled in as host for
a
Insight.
A couple of times early on.
Jeffrey Callison.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick listen.
Uh-oh.
From KXJZ in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Donna Appadone, in for Jeffrey Callison. On today's show, a mother tells her biracial son the truth about his father. The story, with its mix of emotions, is on stage this weekend. And the California International Marathon is this Sunday.
You're blushing.
Where did you find that? I can't believe the old sound, the old audio that's hanging around here. Well, I just absolutely love doing that. And it was fun to fill in for Jeffrey a couple of times.
Yeah. And I guess, where does your love for interviewing people come from?
Well, I'm basically an introvert in an extrovert's job. So, you know, if I go to parties, I don't want to talk about myself. So I start asking people about that. You know, tell me about yourself. What do you think about this or that? And it just sort of turned into interviewing.
Yeah.
But I love interviewing people. I just love to get people talking about themselves. And I'm really hoping that that's a big part of my next life, the next part of my career.
I 100% connect with that.
Yeah.
If someone asks how I'm doing, I say fine. But then I'll ask like a slew of questions about them.
Exactly.
You know, just get the attention off
exactly,
me.
Exactly,
yeah. Probably why, you
right.
know, I'm a journalist. So
right.
You also enjoy hosting long format interviews, and you interviewed Madeleine Albright. How was that experience?
It was amazing. She was amazing. It was actually one of several live interviews I did for a Sacramento Public Library system. Rivka Sass was the director of the system at the time. And it should have been an in-person interview with a live audience, but it was just after the lockdown or during the lockdown in 2020. So we had to do it all by Zoom. There was a live audience, but we had to do that. It's probably the only time I've been really nervous about an interview because it's Madeleine Albright. Oh my gosh. She's just so gracious and so amazing. But the funny thing was that even though you could only see head and shoulders on Zoom, I still felt like I should get dressed up. I had a suit on and a lapel pin because she always wore lapel pins. But I didn't put shoes on. For some reason, I just was barefoot. I had an end-of-life pet in my house at the time, and I put that pet in the other in a room on the other side of the house so there wouldn't be any sound during the interview. And I thought, I'm going to check on her one more time before the interview starts. Didn't realize that she had had an accident, so I stepped in some pet pee.
Oh, no.
So 5 minutes before my interview with Madeleine Albright, I'm cleaning myself up.
Of course, you're trying to be, like, calm and composed.
Yes, and everything's fine, Madam Secretary. But I came out of that thinking, you know, if I can interview Madeleine Albright having stepped in pet pee, I can do just about anything.
Well, listen, let's listen to part of it.
Madam Secretary, welcome.
Well, it's great to be with you, Donna, and with this wonderful virtual audience. I'm looking forward to your questions and having a good time.
You are wearing a pin that I have to ask you about because you're famous for your pins. How did it get to be a practice of yours to wear pins?
It was after the end of the Gulf War. The ceasefire had been translated into a series of sanctions resolutions, and my instructions were to make sure that the sanctions stayed on. So I said perfectly terrible things about Saddam Hussein constantly. There was a poem that appeared in the papers in Baghdad comparing me to many things, but among them an unparalleled serpent. And so I happened to have a snake fin, and I decided to wear it when I talked about Iraq. After a session of the Security Council, I came out and one of the cameras turned and the reporter said, "Why are you wearing that snake pin?" And I said, "Because Saddam Hussein compared me to an unparalleled serpent." And then I thought, well, this is fun. So I went out and I bought a lot of costume jewelry to reflect what I thought we were going to do on any given day. So on good days, I wore flowers and butterflies and balloons. And on bad days, I wore a lot of carnivorous animals and spiders and things. And the other ambassadors would say, "What are we going to do today?" And I said, "Read my pins." And that's how it all started.
Which was at the same time that President Bush was saying, "Read my lips," right?
Exactly. Sort of in that same... Yeah, I copied, actually.
Intimidation through lapel pins.
Exactly. She was such a character, but such a brilliant person. And everyone, what I heard when she passed earlier this year, was that everyone who worked with her absolutely adored her. Yeah. And I can see why.
Did you interview Terry Gross with Fresh Air?
I did interview Terry Gross.
She doesn't usually do interviews. She's an interviewer. She doesn't really share a lot about herself.
I don't know how many years ago this was. We were at a conference, a public radio conference, and they had a little booth set up where you could interview Terry Gross for like 5 minutes or two questions or something like that. And somewhere in the world, there is a photograph of me interviewing Terry Gross. I mean, how often does that happen that she's willing to, sort of like me right now, being on the receiving end of an interview is a little uncomfortable.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're devoting the rest of the show to say goodbye to CAP Radio Morning Edition host Donna Ampadone, who will be signing off tomorrow after more than two decades at CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're just joining us, we're going to continue my conversation with CAP Radio Morning Edition host Donna Ampadone, who will be signing off tomorrow after more than two decades here at CAP Radio. What I love about the time that we've spent together at Insight is when you join us for CAP Radio Reads.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about that origin story. How did Reads come about?
Quite a few years ago, Vicky Larini, who had worked at Borders for many years, suggested CAP Radio Reads and booked the authors for 9 years, and I hosted all of those. They were in-person events, author in the room, 50, 100 people in the room with us, and then COVID came along. We had to start doing them on Zoom. Vicky left the station. And so I've been booking and doing segments with you on Insight ever since. It's just so much fun to talk to these authors and then to be able to talk about their books and how they see them.
Yeah. And being an interviewer or host for Cap Radio Reads, I mean, your love for literature and books is profound. You know, I always picture you with the book in hand or reading almost daily. Why is Reads so important to you?
Well, books are important. You know, books are education. We learn so much from them. And people see books as an escape, and that's a good thing. But books also represent power. Look how many people are so excited when they get to learn to read and when they have access to books. It's something that we kind of take for granted. Plus, I'm a word geek. You know, I love finding out how other people put their words together and what it means to them. Where does the story come from? How do you set this whole thing up? What is the process that you go through? So I just love that.
Well, let's take a quick listen.
It was interesting how you said you didn't know if you wanted to read a story about war.
Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't know if I wanted to write the story about war. But now I'm so glad that I did, because I definitely feel so inspired to talk about this time period in history and to get us to reclaim it.
Some authors lead us down a path where we think we know what's going to happen, and then they make a sharp turn and something else altogether happens. It seemed that you genuinely want your readers to solve the mystery. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I certainly want it to be possible for them to solve it, because I think it's almost a kind of honesty thing as a reader. If it gets to the end of the book and I suddenly find that it was some guy that you've never heard of before that rides in at the 11th hour, you just feel cheated.
Clayton points out the experience of writing is profound.
You come to see the world as a writer much more intimately than you do if you're not writing. You stop and look at things in different ways, and you think about things in different ways, and it really allows you to come to know both the world and yourself in a way that is incredibly rewarding, whether you publish or not.
I love Reads because even if you've read the book, you learn so much by speaking with the authors and really kind of peeling back the curtain to their work.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because every writer is different, just as every person is different and every book is different. So all of their processes and all of their reasons are fascinating to hear every single time.
Yeah. As Morning Edition hosts and also Reads, I mean, you build in so many fun and lighthearted moments in your hosting. Why is that important to you? And what do you hope that conveys to listeners?
You know, the first year that I hosted Morning Edition, the person who was my boss at the time said, "You can't say that funny stuff. This is an important news show." And I ignored him. And it seems to have worked out fairly well. It's the balance of life. You know, I never try to do anything lighthearted after a serious story. It's only when it's appropriate to do that. But we need that balance. We need to laugh a little bit. And I'm usually saying something that everybody's thinking anyway.
Well, let's get a little example of your lighthearted moments.
Do you have plans for Valentine's Day? I'm Donna Epidone, and I hope you'll join me for lunch on Tuesday the 14th, when I'll have some very romantic music. Okay, the thing with Romeo and Juliet didn't end well, but it's still about lovers. Join in the fun Tuesday, noon to 1 on Cap Radio Music.
Oh my gosh, well, there's an understatement. The story of Romeo and Juliet did not end well.
You know, I would say that Valentine's Day is understandably a pretty controversial, you know, holiday. I think understandably a lot of people don't love that day.
Exactly.
So, I mean, do you actually plan to be funny? How does that happen?
No, I'm really lucky. I never plan to be funny. And if I think of something and I try to rehearse it, then the delivery is never very good. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to trust myself over the years that I'll have like a little speck of an idea. Oh, that might work. And then I just do it. And occasionally it does bomb. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out at all well. But it has turned into something that people find notable. So I'm glad I started doing it.
And I think by doing so, listeners really get a feeling that they know you. They know Donna Appadoni.
Yeah.
But what are some things that listeners might not know about you?
Oh, well, let's see. What don't they know about me? They don't know I'm an ordained minister. Yeah, that's one thing they don't know. And it's not a holier-than-thou kind of a thing at all. I grew up in a very interfaith community, and so I felt like if I delved into some of those world religions a little bit, I would get a better idea of what's happening with people who are newsmakers and understand so many religious undertones to stories in the news. It happens that the first rule of ministry is to meet people where they are. So that has been a great gift to me in trying to host Morning Edition. It has really reminded me to be compassionate and to work with empathy and to make sure that's part of what I do. Just before ordination, they had us all stand up and say, "What is your intention after ordination?" And everyone, I'm going to do services. I'm going to do weddings. I said, "I don't know, but I think it has something to do with a microphone." And everyone laughed, but it was true. Yeah. So that's something people don't know.
And you also teach.
I teach classes on finding purpose. You know, we teach what we need to know. Mm-hmm. And in searching for my own purpose, I started teaching this class. I do it once or twice a year. And it's an amazing thing to just be there when people's faces light up and they say, "Oh, that's what I'm meant to do in the world. Oh, okay, that's good." That's fun.
Yeah, you and I have talked about, we both read The Artist's Way.
Yes.
and Morning
yeah.
Pages,
yeah.
Stream of Consciousness Writing,
right.
and all that stuff. That really does help. It helped me get kind of more rooted in and build a better relationship with myself and understanding with myself and my purpose at that.
Yeah, it makes a big difference to know what you're supposed to be doing.
So you're obviously not retiring. You're just yeah. graduating. So what's next for Donna Appadoni?
I've written a couple of books. That's something people don't know about me. The first one is called Transfer Mission. That was several years ago. And it goes with the class. You know, it's about finding purpose. It's people read the book when they go to the class. The new book is called Drive Time Meditations, and it just came out. You can ask your favorite bookstore or you can order it on Amazon. It's there too. I'm not a traditional meditator. I'm not, you know, those people who close their eyes and say, "Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine." No, I'm not that kind of a meditator at all, but I pick a topic and then I sort of ruminate on it. And that's what this book is. It's 183 one-page meditations leading towards some sort of a purpose, but they're intended. They're one page long, so you can just read one and then get in the car or get on the bus and on your way to school or work, you can kind of just let that filter through your system and see where it takes you. So it's kind of cool in that regard.
And then I would imagine you're going to continue writing and also maybe even some the passions that you couldn't fit in while hosting Morning Edition.
Yeah, because now I'll have a little bit more time every day to do that. So I'll still be conducting interviews. I'll still be writing features. A lot of what I do is going to be on my personal website instead of on the station website. One of the things I'm doing is writing for a national digital magazine published by a PBS affiliate in the Midwest. Well, we all know how to work remotely, so I can just sit in my house and do that, and it's pretty cool. And then there, you know, I'm open to possibilities. There are a couple of things that are in discussion right now, and we'll just see where I pop up. I'll surprise everybody.
It's all exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Donna, here's your moment, your chance to talk to Cap Radio listeners who have been with you for so long. The microphone is all yours.
This is the part where I cry. Yeah.
Good cries, good tears.
Well, I would like to say that it has been an honor to be a part of your morning for all of these years. We've had a lot of breakfasts together, a lot of rides to work, a lot of school time on the way to school time. We've taken a few showers together, but okay. We have built a community of Morning Edition listeners, and that's been something that's been very important to me. I'm leaving the show, but you, as a listener, are still going to be part of it. Steve will still be here. A new host is going to step in a month from now. I want you to think of Morning Edition as a launching pad. I want you to think of it as an inspiration. So when you listen to Morning Edition from now on, don't dismiss what you hear. Don't get angry about it. Don't laugh and then forget about it. This isn't just information. It's motivation. So think of it as news you can use. Do something with it. Find something that inspires you, something you can devote yourself to, and then do it, because that's what communities do. That's what we're all about. That's all.
The more we listen, the more we understand each other, and the better we all are.
Exactly.
Donna, we wish you the absolute best. Please stay close.
Thank you, Vicki. I will.
And that is CAP Radio Morning Edition host Donna Appadoni, who will be signing off tomorrow after more than two decades at CAP Radio. To close our tribute to Donna, we're going to end with one of her favorite songs from The Talking Heads, And She Was, which Donna says there's a lot that relates to her career in public radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.